A budget routine is something that scares a lot of people. But if you are feeling any sort of money stress, a budget is the exact thing you need. When we can create a budget routine that works really well for us, for our own life, we can create a plan that actually relieves the pressure. It helps keep us more organized with our money and actually creates more freedom when it comes to personal finances. So today we're going to cover four things that help my husband and me stay on track with our money goals. And today I want to share them with you.
Are you ready to stop the chaos, the stress, the overwhelm that's filling your life? I'm Renee Matt, and together you and I are going to build simple routines that are going to change your life. When you put these habits into practice, you're going to be able to organize your life in a way where you can be there for your family, pay off your debt, save money, your house can stay organized, you don't have to stress about what's for dinner, and you still get time for yourself. So without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Routine Advantage Podcast.
I have a very strong opinion that budgets are not restrictive, but they actually create more freedom. And this is something that I did not believe before we started budgeting. I thought that creating a budget was going to mean that we would have such restriction and we would have absolutely no way to spend money. And that just kind of scared me. But over time, we had seen other people do budgets, and my sister and brother-in-law are amazing at budgets, and we really learned a ton from them, and they're kind of our mentors when it comes to budgeting. So we've learned a lot from them, and they helped us to see how budgeting is not meant to be restrictive. It's actually meant to help you create a plan that works well for you and helps relieve the money stress rather than cause it. So if you are struggling with a budget or the idea of a budget, I would encourage you to kind of change your thinking a little bit and actually try it to see how it works for you. And one way of budgeting might not work well, but there are lots of different ways to budget. So what I am teaching is just one of the very many ways to do it. So I would hope that you try the way that I'm doing it. But if you don't, then I hope you find a different way that works for you, because it is truly something that can make a huge difference in not only how you feel personally with your finances, but especially in marriages. I know for Tony and I, it has made a huge difference in how we relate to each other, just because we no longer have stress surrounding money. We've learned how to talk about it and what works well for us as a couple, what works well for us individually. And we've just learned a lot, and we've done it together. And setting up our budget was the biggest thing that helped us do that. So today I want to talk about four things that actually help us stay on track with our money goals when we are talking about budgets. And these are, if you've already got your budget set up, usually you can definitely do these if you don't have a budget set up, but I don't know how well they apply. So if you need to go back and set up a budget first, then I do have some episodes that I will share with you. So maybe I'll actually tell you those right away, just in case you want to go back and listen to those and then come back to this episode. So maybe you want to pause it and go back and listen. But the episodes are number 7. So episode 7 is the first step in your budget routine, and that helps you build your base budget. And then episode 16 is, once you've created your base budget, this is what to do with it. And then episode 17 is all about creating an essentials list that works alongside your budget as well. And the essentials list doesn't actually have to apply to your budget. If you're anti-budget and you're not going to do it, you could still do the essentials list. So that's totally up to you. But episodes 7, 16, and 17, those are the ones you're going to want to go back and listen to. But the first tip that I want to share with you to help you stay on track with your money goals is to have fun money. And fun money is just what it sounds like. It's for fun. So the whole concept of fun money is that your budget aligns your money goals. So everything that you're spending should be in your budget. However, things come up sometimes that we have not budgeted for that we might want to purchase, or we might want to splurge a little bit. And Fund Money allows you to do that without going off course with your budget. So what we do is we started with a smaller amount. When we first started budgeting, we were trying to pay off debt in a very short amount of time, and it was a lot. So we were trying to pay off our debt. So our budget was pretty dang tight. So we allowed ourselves to have some fun money, and we each were given a certain amount of cash each month. And it was each paycheck. And over time, as we paid debt off, and now we are debt-free except our mortgage, now that we have been able to do that, we have upped our fund money a little bit so that we each get a little bit more each paycheck. But what this allows us to do is that as we plan our monthly budget, everything is accounted for. Our money is assigned to different areas of our life, whether it is bills, if it's monthly expenses, if it's sinking funds, if it's retirement accounts, all these different things. Everything is assigned to what our goals are, what we have chosen or where we have chosen to put it. But our fund money is what we have pulled for each of us individually. So Tony and I each get our own amount. And what that is our splurge money. We get to do whatever we want with it, and the other one can't say. So if I want to go out, and I'm not really a shoes person, but let's say I want to go out and buy a new pair of shoes, we don't have to consult the budget. We don't have to check with each other on whether or not, you know, that's going to throw things off with the budget. If I have fun money saved up, then I can spend it on whatever I want. So I can go buy 3 pairs of shoes if I really wanted to. It just depends on our fun money. So that is a really good way of being able to stay on track while still feeling like you have a little bit of money to splurge and you don't feel so restricted. That has helped us a ton. And it also helps in the little nitpicky arguments. If you have a tendency to get little like nitpicky with each other, that is a really good way of doing it, is to just assign each of you fun money, and then the rest of your money is decided together on where you want it to go. So that is a fun one. And just a one note, you don't have to do it the way we do, but everything that we spend is usually on our card. But our fun money is different. We actually go to the ATM every payday, or around payday, and we pull, this is Tony's job. Tony kind of does it, but he goes and he pulls the cash for us. And so anything that we have in cash, that is usually fun money, because that's the only time that we really deal with cash. And then we split it up amongst ourselves and we're good to go. So that's just something that we do that I think is super helpful to help us stay on track. The second thing is ongoing sinking funds. Now, you've probably heard of like a savings fund or a sinking fund to pay for like a one-time expense. So let's say you are wanting to save for a new car. That's a one-time expense. So if you are putting money away and it's getting plugged into an account and it comes time to buy that car, you spend that money and it's gone. And that money is gone. That sinking fund is gone. There's nothing else to purchase. But we have those types of funds, but we also have ongoing sinking funds. And what we use for these are like the funds where it won't throw off our monthly budget. So if you're budgeting for the month, and let's say you're used to budgeting $100 for home repairs each month. Well, one month you might not need any of that, and you end up having an extra $100 in your monthly budget. And so then the next month, you do the same thing and you mark off $100 for that monthly budget. Well, what happens now if you have $300 worth of expenses that come up because something breaks and you don't necessarily want to go into your emergency fund because it's something you probably could have planned for? So our solution to this is we were coming up to this. This was happening quite often, where something would happen or something would come up, and it would kind of swing up and down on what was actually needed for certain categories. And we realized it's not consistent, but we still need to be putting money away. And we decided to do ongoing sinking funds. So when we put money in our sinking funds, so what we have a spreadsheet, and in one sheet of the spreadsheet, we have our list of sinking funds that we're doing. And what we do is we will put a little bit of money in each of our ongoing sinking funds every month, whether or not we need it. So we actually do have ongoing sinking funds for things like insurance or tax payments, home or car repairs. We do it for clothing because that's not a monthly expense for us. We kind of go a long time without buying anything, and then all of a sudden we need a bunch of stuff. For a Christmas fund, we do it for a charitable and giving fund. So what we do is each month we actually budget a specific amount that goes into this ongoing sinking fund, whether or not we spend it that month. And if we don't spend it, it just goes into that sinking fund and it starts building the balance. So in that spreadsheet, we can see the balance of each of our sinking funds at any given time. So then when an expense comes up, rather than throwing off our monthly budget, we can just go into our sinking fund sheet and see exactly how much we have accumulated over time in each of those funds, so that we're still budgeting for it each month, but we don't necessarily have to spend it every month, and it's not throwing us off of our monthly budget when those expenses do come up eventually. So that is a really good way that we have found is super helpful for us. We started, I think, with just our dogs. We started with just his vet fund, and I think it was just that fund, and then like our home repair fund, or it was actually our vehicle maintenance repair fund. That's what it was. And then we realized that our clothing, like we were kind of going up and down, and then Tony would buy something and then I would buy something. And then it's like, oh shoot, like, you know, you ripped a hole in your shoe or whatever it was. And then we realized we're like, we should just do ongoing sinking funds for clothing. So we each have our own fund. And you can do it either way. You could do one bulk fund for your whole family, or you can do individually. But it's really nice having it individually, because then at any given time, we can kind of look, and it's like, oh, if I want to go shopping for some things, let me take a look at my clothing fund and see how much is built in there. And then I kind of know what amount I can go on a little shopping spree with. So that's something that is super handy without really throwing off your monthly budget, because it's already planned into your base budget. Number three is no miscellaneous fund. And this one might sound scary, especially if you are a budgeter. You're like, well, what do I do? The problem that we were having with a miscellaneous fund, and if you don't do this, then you might want to keep yours, but it wasn't working well for us. And over time, we realized that. And when we got rid of it, we were so much better about sticking to our budget. We still aren't perfect every month. Don't think that when you have a budget, you're going to be perfect every month. We definitely are not. But it gives us that plan and that outline that we definitely have more of the vision, and we stay on track more than if we weren't doing it and we were just winging it. So the no miscellaneous fund means, well, first of all, if you budget and you have a miscellaneous fund, usually that just allows you to have those like random expenses that come up that don't really apply to any of the other areas that you budgeted for that month. But what we were finding that we were doing is we would have an amount in our miscellaneous fund, and then we would just kind of spend whatever we wanted. It wasn't like a rollover or an overflow of expenses that came up. It was just becoming this little like spending fund where it's like, oh, we can just go buy whatever. And if we didn't budget for it, let's just put it in miscellaneous. And over time, we realized like our miscellaneous fund was going way over budget every month because everything just got kind of flung into the miscellaneous budget. And when we realize, we're like, we are kind of really like shooting ourselves in the foot for this, we decided to just get rid of it completely. And we just really have a conversation of like, what do we have coming up this month? And when we do our monthly planning, we will talk things through. Like we look at our calendar, like what is happening? What is coming up? What do we need money for? We plan out our, like we refresh our base budget. So we have that base budget template every month and we just tweak it for the month. And then we assign, you know, into our sinking funds. We have built up sinking funds, though, of those ongoing funds. And then we really kind of capture what our month is. And over time, we have realized that we don't need the miscellaneous fund because we have captured everything that we need in our base budget for the month. We go over our bills, we go over our monthly expenses, we have our essentials list set up so we know how much we need for there. And because we have those ongoing sinking funds and fund money, we don't really need the miscellaneous fund because between all of those other areas that we have set up in our budget routine, the miscellaneous fund is kind of, it doesn't matter. Like we don't need it. It's covered. It was just an excuse to keep spending money. So if you find that you're going over budget every month, take a look at what you're doing for your miscellaneous fund, because that might be what's causing the problems. And then let's go. Oh, number four. So I had to find where I was at. Number four is to track as you spend in real time. So this one can feel a little bit daunting because it feels like a lot of work to track real time, but I can guarantee you that it is actually easier to track real time and stay on top of purchases than it is to go back over the entire week. So some people will wait and do all of their, tracking, you know, at the end of the week and see where they're at, see where they balance out. But the problem there is not only is it stressful to go back through a week's worth of expenses, especially if you had a lot of them, it's hard to go back through a week's worth. It takes a lot of time, but it also doesn't give you a good picture of where you're at throughout the week. So it's a lot easier to overspend because you don't find out where you're at when you're in your spending categories until the end of the week when you're putting in your expenses. So what's easier is to actually track as you go. And there's several different ways you can do this. You can do it, you know, paper pen style in a notebook. If you're new to it, you can do it in an app. There are tons of free budgeting apps out there. You can also do it in a spreadsheet. And if you're going to do it in a spreadsheet, I highly recommend doing like a Google sheet, because then you can have it really accessible on your phone and easy to just, you know, pop open and track those things. But really all you're doing is you have your base budget set up for the month. And then once you do that, you just start tracking when you spend. So it's not restricting, it's just giving you your guidance on where you're spending based on what you set as your goals. So if I, you know, put, let's take an example of groceries. I'm going to say like $200. That's super low. If you can spend $200 a month on groceries, like high five to you. But let's say $200 is what you budgeted for groceries that month. And if you are stopping at the grocery store and you spend, you know, $25 and then you spend another $50 on a second trip that week, you have spent $75 out of your $200. And if you don't catch that right away, you might go on some big shopping trip to Costco and spend all $200, not realizing you already spent $75 or that your spouse spent $75. So what this allows you to do is actually like look at the $200. And then when you stop on the first trip and you spend that $25, you just deduct it. And you say, I spent $25, I'm down to $175. And then you go and you spend the next $50, you deduct it, and you say, okay, now I'm down to $125. So when you stop for that Costco trip, you know you have $125 to stay within your goal of what you budgeted for. And then that will give you a better picture of what to spend when you go into Costco, because then you're not going to pick up as many random things that you don't need. You're going to focus on your priority items if you really want to stay within your budget that month. So it just allows you to stay real time on your decisions, but then it also prevents you from having to take that big chore of going back and listing all of your different expenses. It really, when you start tracking your expenses in the beginning, it might take a little bit longer to get in there and know exactly where you're going and to plug in the numbers. But once you're used to doing it, it's truly like a matter of seconds. If we go and we stop somewhere, you just look at the receipt, you pop open the app or the spreadsheet on your phone, and you just plug in the date, the place, the category, and the amount, and you're done. And that is it. And usually, you know, depending on what system you're using, it will just automatically update for you. You don't have to do the math on it. You're just tracking it and it'll tell you how much you have left. So it is really important to do that if you're wanting to stay within your budget on those things, because it's a lot easier to spend and overspend really quickly if you're not paying attention to it. So that is something that we have found is really important, is to do it in real time rather than waiting. So a really, really quick recap on that for you, for those four budget tips to help you stay on track with your money goals that helps Tony and I. Number one is to have fun money. Number two is to create ongoing sinking funds. Number three is to get rid of your miscellaneous fund. And number four is to track as you spend in real time. So I hope that was useful for you and gave you some encouragement to start your own budget if you haven't already. And if you've already been budgeting, hopefully these will be useful to you and that you can implement some of these and reach your money goals even faster. So I hope you enjoyed that episode. And if you have not taken time to leave a review yet, please do so. I would greatly appreciate it. It only takes a little bit of time. You can either just leave the rating right in your podcast app. And if you are an Apple Podcasts or iTunes user, you can actually leave the written review. And I think, as far as I know, that is the only one where you can actually write a written review. So if you have access to somebody's iPhone or iPad, if you don't have one yourself, just go ahead and use theirs and leave a written review. And I would love to hear from you on how the show is helping you and what you've learned and how you're enjoying it. And I just love to hear from you. So thank you for listening, and I will see you on the next episode. Did you love that episode or learn something useful? If so, would you do me a huge favor? My goal is to grow this podcast and help as many women as I can break free from the overwhelm so they can truly enjoy their life. The best way for me to do this is for you to leave a 5-star written review on your podcast app and to share this episode with a friend or in your Instagram stories. I appreciate you being here. I hope you have a wonderful day, and I will see you on the next episode. Take care.